Now time to talk with the voice of the Iowa State Cyclones. It's our Cyclone Insider, all brought to you by Legends in Marshalltown. And I look at Kansas State. They struggled with North Dakota, barely pulled that one off with 40 seconds to go. And then you look at Iowa State, South Dakota, you think, oh boy, they had a pretty good year last year. They roll in, but the Cyclones just dominated from the get-go. And were you impressed by just how well they kind of kept their foot on the pedal through that game on Saturday?
Yeah, it really was. Their amount of focus was incredible considering the circumstances. And so they passed that test with flying colors. And, you know, I think it's a real compliment to Matt Campbell and what he talked about this week when he was asked about the Iowa game and, you know, is it different? Well, yeah, it is. It is different, and he recognizes that, but your preparation has to be the same regardless, you know, and that was really evident last week with the way Iowa State played against South Dakota. They were ready to play. They were well-prepared, and they played a great game.
Yeah, John, I got to give you some credit here. Before the Kansas State game, you had talked about you can't really replace guys like Jalen Knoll and Jaden Higgins, and you talked about the real importance of that tight end room as well as the veteran running backs. And we've seen that here, especially in that game against South Dakota. Abu Sama with the rushing touchdown, Ben Bramer and Gabe Burkle both had big games.
Yeah, I think it was 13 catches for the tight ends in that game, and that is going to have to be a big part of what Iowa State does going forward. And it really creates matchup nightmares for defensive coordinators when you play that many tight ends and you play that many different formations. There were times when Carson Hansen and Abu Sama were in the game at the same time. There were times when Iowa State had one tight end, two tight ends, three tight ends, four tight ends. And you're just constantly trying to match up with their personnel and figure out what they're trying to do. And Taylor Mauser is very creative as an offensive coordinator, and so I just think Iowa State would be a really hard team to prepare for with all the different looks they give you, and so much of that is a tribute to those tight ends. But I do think it's important this year that they really spread the ball around and have a lot of different guys. You know, last year, Knoll and Higgins were tremendous, and they combined for almost 2,400 yards and 17 touchdowns, but I don't think you're going to see two guys combine for those kind of numbers this year. I think it's going to be more of a total team thing where everybody has to kind of chip in. And on a given week, a guy might get hot and you might ride that hot hand. But it's going to be more spread out over the course of the season.
Iowa and Iowa State this weekend on Saturday at 11. You can hear the pregame show starting at 9 and John on the call. Big noon kickoff is going to be there in Ames. Of course, the game is on Fox at 11 o'clock on Saturday as well. It seems like every year we say it, biggest game in the state, but Iowa State is 2-0. They haven't beat the Hawkeyes at home. I can't remember the last time it was. John, you probably know better than I do, but it's been a while, and this is a big opportunity for Iowa State to go 3-0 and really solidify their kind of placement in college football.
Well, as the great philosopher Rafiki said in The Lion King, it is time. It is time. And Iowa State hasn't won at Jack Trice Stadium against Iowa since James White took that in triple overtime in 2011. Now, they've won four times in Kinnick Stadium since then, So it's not like they haven't won games in the series, but they just have had a hard time beating them at home, and so they're very due to accomplish that. It's hard. That's what makes Iowa so good. They make you earn everything. If you're going to beat them, you truly have to beat them. You're not going to just get handed the game. And so Iowa State understands that. They play a very similar style. These teams are much more alike than different. Programs are much more alike than different, no matter how much nobody wants to admit it. they're very similar in their approach, you know. And I think there's a ton of respect. I know Matt Campbell has a ton of respect for Kirk Ferentz. And so it's going to be hard. You're going to have to really play great football to beat them, and that's a fun challenge for this team right now because they are playing great football. Now they just got to keep it rolling this weekend.
Yeah, John, it's been since 2011, you mentioned that James White game back at Jack Trice Stadium. What sort of standout player are you looking towards? I know we've talked about the tight ends, and you know there were a lot of guys that got to see the field against South Dakota. Is there anybody that you've got your eye on here this weekend?
Well, Rocco Beck, number one, first and foremost, because Rocco was tremendous last year in the victory in Kinnick Stadium, especially down the stretch with the game on the line. And, you know, five times last year he led Iowa State on a go-ahead drive in the final minutes of a game. And they won four of those. Texas Tech got the ball back and scored after he did that at home. But, you know, to think about that drive that he put together with no timeouts and hardly any time on the clock, the two throws to Jalen Knoll, a throw to Benjamin Bramer, and then the Conrady 54-yard field goal, he's just got that clutch gene. And, in fact, it's the dominant gene in Rocco Becht. And he's the guy that, you know, if the game's on the line, you feel really good about having him in your huddle. And I think this will be another one of those very close games, and he's probably going to have to make some great plays down the stretch, but there's so much confidence in that Iowa State camp right now that he can do that under any circumstances. And so I think that's the advantage that Iowa State has, is Rocco Becht, and let's see if they can go take advantage of that on Saturday.
They've also got an advantage in the kicking game, which usually you say that with Iowa, you know, but Kyle Conrady nailed that 63-yarder last week. That was an impressive field goal. He made the big kick against Iowa last year. I looked it up because I asked Dave about it as well, but, you know, there's not really been any big-time kickers drafted in Iowa State history, but Conrady's got a real opportunity to do that. He is just really locked in when it comes to special teams, it seems like.
Yeah, he's been great. And, you know, I don't know if I'd claim a victory necessarily for Iowa State in the kicking game, but I would certainly say both teams feel really good about their kicking game. Drew Stevens kicked a 55-yarder for Iowa last week. He's tremendous. They've got a great punter in Reese Dake, and Iowa State has a great punter, the best they've ever had, in Tyler Perkins.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think both teams feel great about their special teams. Their return games are really good. And it is almost a wash, you know. I mean, it's in a good, positive way. I mean, both teams have excellent special teams right now. And, it could come down to a kick at the end. I'd take that trend if it continues like last year and Iowa State's able to get that game-winning kick opportunity. I'd feel great about Kyle's chances. But, it's an area that was a struggle for Iowa State maybe for a few years. They've really gotten those special teams cleaned up. And, you know, a tip of the cap to the two guys that are in charge of those special teams, Rob Grandy and Rory Walling. They have done a great job just getting those specialists really playing at a super high level. And that could be what this game is decided on, absolutely.
It is the Cyclone Insider on the Morning Kickstart. Thanks so much for the time this morning, John.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for having me, guys.